And welcome into Preds Insiders live rinkside here at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. The 2020 NHL Bridgestone Winter Classic coming up tomorrow afternoon. Puck drop shortly after 1, supposed to be approximately 1:05. Pregame coverage here on 102.5 The Game at noon. We will have live coverage from this very spot starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow between myself and Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. This is the coolest spot that you could ever pick to have Preds Insiders.
Literally, as Jeremy and figuratively.
Jeremy K. Gover now joins me here in our broadcast location that is just inside the blue line here rinkside. We can literally touch the glass. We are touching the glass here on Preds Insiders. Hal Gill checked Chase McCabe into the glass. Gover, this is flipping awesome. I have to say.
It's very, very special to be a part of something like this. I know Chicago fans and media are probably spoiled, but this is pretty incredible to be a part of down here on the glass. I mean, we're inches away from the players skating with their families right now,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is also very special. That only happens about two or three times a year, a season, usually around Christmas or so. They have a party of some kind, and then, of course, in something like this. So it's very special. It's very cool to be a part of and this close to it. My only regret is that the media skate was canceled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
They had to push back the practices, I assume, to let the shadows cover the ice, because when we were down here about 1:30, when we just walked into the stadium, I almost took my jacket off. It was 55 degrees, but with the sun beating down, it felt probably 75-80 degrees at least down here next to the ice. So I'm not surprised that the NHL had to push back the start of practices from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock to accommodate the weather, I guess you could say, and the sun beating down. But once the shadows took over the ice, then it was about 3:30 when that happened, and then Stars players started coming on out to the ice. But this has been special to take in all this, and the fact that this team that we've either been watching or covering for over two decades is a part of something like this. You can see the sheer joy in the players' faces, and they were all just giddy during practice. This is just really cool.
It's almost like, there's 82 games is a grind, right? I mean, 82 games, you do the same thing. It's a very, very routine thing. Obviously, they're all blessed to play a sport for a living and make a lot of money doing so, and go after Lord Stanley's Cup. But I think also the 82 regular season game schedule is a grind, and I think this has probably got to be a real nice kind of mental reset button, because mm-hmm. it's something new and different right basically in the middle of the season,
mm-hmm.
right? So I really love that, and I'm going to be very interested to talk to some of the players and after this is all over, and talk about how special an event like this is, specifically where it's placed. It's not the beginning of the season where everyone's already hyped. It's not towards the end of the season when there's playoffs on the line. It's right kind of smack dab in the middle of the season.
So when you look at the scene of what we're witnessing right now, the Preds players and staff members are on the ice with their families, which is also a really cool part of this event that the Preds are partaking in, is that the families get to be a part of it as well. And they flew all the families and staff members here to Dallas, I believe, yesterday afternoon. And now all of them get to take this in. UC Saros there with his better half. Craig Smith there with his better half. Craig Smith giving us a thumbs up. It's just really cool to see these Preds players be a part of something like this. And also, when you look around, this Cotton Bowl is huge.
It is big.
And it's going to be incredible tomorrow, as north of 80,000 people will be in this stadium. About 25, maybe even 30,000 of them wearing gold or white. The Winter Classic jerseys being the white jerseys. And they look better on the players than I had even dreamt of.
So when they were, when the jersey was released, you and I talked about how beautiful they were. I went on the air also and talked about how gorgeous they are and how clean they're going to look. And I think I even may have mentioned the fact that they're going to look spectacular when all, when the entire roster is out on the ice in them. And it still blew my mind. It was still so much more beautiful than, I mean, how often do you say a jersey is beautiful, you know?
Right.
And it's just, when they're all together in this setting, it's, oh, it's just gorgeous.
And you see, well, you don't see people who are listening, but we see Dan Hamhuis out there with his family members, which is cool to see for him after the puck that he took to the face Friday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
It really makes you feel for Colton Sissons.
Yeah, and you felt for him looking over across the way from us, across the ice, and there he is in street clothes.
Yeah.
He did partake in the team photo at 5:30, but he took in practice from the bench. So that's tough to see. I know that's got it. This has to be an event that he was really looking forward to.
Yes,
to playing in and, you know, bringing his family here. But 80,000 to 90,000 people in here, and they are going to make this feel like a the Winter Classic is always a celebration of hockey, but this is going to feel like a celebration of hockey in the South. It really is. That you're going to see, they've been doing some rehearsals, horses, you know, galloping between the stands and the ice here. They're going through rehearsals right now, you know, waving the Winter Classic logo. Flags and Texas state flags. There's a racing pig race setting on the other side of the ice from us. There are big old boots behind us where we're broadcasting right now.
Supposedly there's a petting zoo that's going to come in.
This is,
which I'm very excited about.
This is just really stinking cool. And just to take this all in, Gober.
Yeah, this is my first time seeing it when I walked in today.
Is it?
About 2 hours ago, yeah, I walked in, and it was my first time really looking at being able to see it in person and really take it all in. And again, remember, this is my first Winter Classic ever, right? Mm-hmm. So I haven't gone to one, you know, before. I came real close to going to the very first one, 2009. I had my tickets and everything. This is before I was a media member, of course. And I was going to fly up to Buffalo to see that game. And about a month later, I realized I just couldn't make the trip, so I sold them for face value. And somebody else got to enjoy that. But I remember watching it on TV and thinking, holy crap, did I miss out? Like, a spectacle, you know? And so to finally be at one with the team that I cover is very, very, very special. So I'm thrilled to be here. This is a great event for all of you who are listening via the 102.5 The Game app and are here in Dallas. You have quite a festive, you have quite the festivities coming up tomorrow.
I wonder how many people are listening on their way from Nashville to Dallas right now.
That's awesome, yeah. There's a lot of people flying out today.
We made the drive here yesterday.
We made the drive yesterday.
Airport, the Nashville Airport B&A has been packed with Preds fans flying from Nashville to Dallas. You walk around the, you know, downtown Dallas like we did earlier today. You see people walking around in Preds gear. It was something special. But, you know, this broadcast location, too, I must say. This is where Pete Weber and Hal Gill are going to be calling the game tomorrow.
Yeesh.
It's going to be a challenge. It was going to be a challenge when they were going to be all the way at the top of the press box. And it would have been hard to pick out jersey numbers and who's who. And now, for the left side of the ice, from what you're watching on TV tomorrow, from the left side of the ice, from the red line to the end of the ice, Pete and Hal will be able to see everything. From the red line to the other end of the ice, they're going to have to be looking at this monitor that is right here at the broadcast location. They're going to have to call the game off that, I would assume. And we also have Willie Donick ringside. He will be on the other end of the ice, so if they miss anything from this side, they'll be able to survey Willie Donick down on that end of the ice. Willie Donick will be getting some intermission interviews, too, with players as they walk off the ice. So really excited about our coverage here in Dallas.
This specific broadcast position seemed really, really cool when I first saw it. I was like, oh, man, this is really going to be great for them, you know. And then about 10 seconds later, I realized, oh, no, they can't see the side of the ice. So it will be – it just adds to the experience, right? Mm-hmm. It adds to the experience, and good for Pete and Hal and Willie and everybody to try to get this part, this perspective of the sport they don't ever get this perspective of. Mm-hmm. You know, like they can go to practice and skates and all that like we all do, and they can – sit next to the ice and they can do it, but to see it up close and personal, when they're usually, geez, I don't know, what seems like a mile away from the ice in some places.
Yeah.
In San Jose, for example, we were up in the rafters, like literally the rafters, like the banners were lower than us.
Mm-hmm.
So if that gives you any idea of how high up people usually are, the guys usually are. So this is a really, really great place and a really great perspective. It'll just add to the whole mystique of the experience for sure for them.
I will say the ice earlier when the Stars started practice and when the Preds started practice after they cleaned the ice with the Zamboni, the ice looks better than it did when I attended in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Okay.
I thought it looked better. Now, apparently this past weekend, Dallas got a bunch of rain that completely washed away everything that they had worked on.
Heard that.
In the previous week or so. So they've had to start from scratch and kind of design this ice, which is 20,000 gallons of water, if you can believe that. And it looks to be in fair shape. It's not going to be great. It's never great
right.
when it's an outdoor game.
Right.
It's rarely what it is inside an arena. But I will say the ice, right now it looks all chewed up because the Preds have been practicing. Now the families are out there. But when it was clean, it looked pretty good. It really did.
It was, yeah. That's a good report too, because I didn't get to see it until the Preds came out here. I mean, the security is so tight on the field, right? You have to be in certain areas at all times. And
it's
all
like Fort Knox to get down to the
field.
Yeah,
yeah. And I had to call basically an NHL escort to walk me down to the ice level when it was time. And so when the Preds were coming out of the locker room, I got walked down here, and I didn't get to see it
mm-hmm.
when the Stars were here or when they first got on the ice. I only got to see it when it was freshly zammed and the Preds took the ice. So that's a very good, that's good insight.
So if you look down in the corner, Gover, great radio because the listeners cannot see what we're seeing.
We're going to paint the picture.
We're going to paint the picture. Right. The clock.
I like it.
And the power play time.
I like it.
Is within the boards, something that I had not seen before in a Winter Classic. So for the players, so that they're not looking around and, you know, trying to see where the clock is. They've never played here before. It is right in the boards, which I thought was a pretty cool touch.
It's a really great touch, I think. And it'll help the goaltenders as well, who are trying to alert their team that the penalty is about to be over. So they don't have to look around and try to find it in this unfamiliar place, let alone the fact that it's a football stadium and it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be right there. And then you're right, the defensemen, especially on the points, will be able to see. They'll be the best timekeepers on the ice, basically, because they'll be able to see within a glance how much time is left, not only in the period, but also, again, if there's a penalty or something as well. So, again, they've learned year mm-hmm. after year how to put this thing on. And here we are in a southern market for the first time. The Predators are involved for the first time, and the ice, honestly, all things considered, it looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully, you know, they can get a clean sheet out here, and they can play on a really, really solid surface tomorrow.
The other thing about this spectacle is that it is the biggest regular season game of the NHL's season.
Yes.
It is the most watched game of the regular season. And I know a lot of people think maybe the outdoor games are becoming maybe watered down or there's too many of them. But the reality is this Winter Classic, I don't think is going away anytime soon.
No.
And no matter what the final number is of the people taking in this game around the nation is going to be tomorrow, it's going to be the 11th or 12th, at least 11th or 12th highest-rated regular season game in NHL history, because they've been doing this event since, I believe it was January of 08, was the first Winter Classic when the Penguins beat the Sabres in a shootout. And it is always the highest-rated regular season TV event, and it will be tomorrow, even if you have non-traditional markets like Nashville and Dallas partaking in this game.
There's a I've been a long believer of this because we it's exhausted, right, that I'm not going to get into it too much here, but Chicago's been a part of six of these and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're right, that's watered down. Not Chicago, just the fact that it's the same teams over and over again. This gives it new life, in my mm-hmm. opinion. And that's not speaking as a Predators media member or somebody who lives in Nashville. It's just the fact that it's two new teams getting to explore this and the mm-hmm. majesty of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's how you unwater it down, so to speak, is you don't put Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston,
yeah.
Philly, Chicago in these games every single time. Mm-hmm. You have new blood in it, and this is a great example of that, and we're going to see a great game tomorrow.
I mean, how cool would it be to see the Carolina Hurricanes host this
right.
at the NC State football stadium
yes.
in the coming years or what have you? Like, the fact that they are now branching this event out to Nashville and Dallas and not the traditional teams like you've listed, I think is key for the NHL as well. So this is Preds Insiders, again, live from the Cotton Bowl. We are literally ringside. If there wasn't a piece of glass here, we could reach out
and high-five players.
And high-five players and their families as they are still out on the ice skating around. Really special moments being made for all the Preds staff and players right now. All of our coverage from Dallas brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. We appreciate their support in this venture. And coming up next, we'll start getting into this game because Gover and I just – laid out the spectacle as best we could, as distracted as we are with everything going on. But this is a big game. Preds Stars, big game in the Western Conference. Big 2 points on the table tomorrow when these two teams take it outdoors at 1 p.m. tomorrow. We'll get into that coming up next. He's Jeremy McKay, Gover of TheGameNashville.com and the Preds Radio Network. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders live from the Cotton Bowl in Dallas at the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in to Preds Insiders, live from the Cotton Bowl ringside. As the Preds have wrapped up their practice, they are still on the ice with their families. About 7 more minutes left for them to be skating around with their families, and then they will have media availability here in Dallas, Texas, as they get ready for the Winter Classic. All coverage beginning tomorrow at 9 a.m. live from the Cotton Bowl. It will be Chase McCabe and myself in this exact spot, ringside, before Darren McFarland and Willie Donick take over at 11 a.m., where they will have Smashville Live, a special edition of Smashville Live, which will feature Commissioner Gary Bettman
Ooh.
Stopping by. And then the pregame show starts at 12, and puck drop shortly after 1 with Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call, again, ringside. So that should be a lot of fun to hear how they call that game from this angle that Gover and I are doing this exact show from. And Gover, when the puck drops tomorrow, everything about this spectacle, at least for the players and the coaches, kind of goes away. It becomes a really important game for this Nashville Predators team that I thought did not look good really at all for a lot of the 6 periods that they played against the Pittsburgh Penguins between Friday night and Saturday night. Really disappointing. I know they came back and made it a game
right.
Saturday night in Pittsburgh, but they still did not collect a point in that game. And they're sitting at 42 points through 38 games. They have games in hand on a lot of teams in the West, and I know it's kind of early to start looking at the standings, but the more this team kind of treads water, the quicker we are going to be looking at those standings and how pivotal each game is to get back in the playoff race. And Dallas is one of those teams that is in front of them. They are in the way of the Preds trying to make it back into the postseason. This is a huge game tomorrow for the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars.
It's big in many ways, most of what you just said. To me, it's a big game because it's a divisional matchup. It's a big game because they're both fighting for basically the same playoff spot, right? So, yes, they're in the same division, but also because they have similar, kind of in a similar spot, when it's all said and done. And so it's not like, Dallas is in first place and has first place on lock, you know, and is in full command of the division, and Nashville's bringing up the rear, or vice versa. It's not like that. They're pretty competitive together, and so you're going to have a game that's going to mean quite a bit. Yes, at the end of the day, the pomp and circumstance goes away, and it is about 2 points. I know fans, media, and the players up until that point of puck drop tend to be, you know, they tend to be sorry, there's a bull. There's a bull being whipped.
They're going through some rehearsals for tomorrow. So we're distractions will continue here, Gover.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I was trying to fight through it. But
I'm sure the listeners can hear the sound.
That's not a sound I usually hear, and I had to turn around and check. Sorry about that. But yeah, it's a big game between the two teams because again, you know, the pomp and circumstance goes away when the puck drops because again, 2 points are on the line, and we like to make it a bigger than life thing. Like it's okay, well. You know, it's not a Stanley Cup playoff game. It's not anything like that. It's actually just a regular season game with 2 points on the line. You don't, if you win, you don't get home ice. I mean, there's no kind of added incentive. It's just 2 points like any other game is. It just happens to be played in a really cool setting. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Nashville needs every point they can get right now. They need to erase, if they can, the disappointment against Pittsburgh and the home-and-home series they just had against them. They need to get back to the streak they were on before. They need to try to build towards what they were like in October. There's a lot of things that are on the line here that are not going to make or break a season, but you want to start feeling good when that calendar turns to 2020. You want to start feeling good about your game, and this is a great place for it to start.
Well, and the last time the Preds played the Dallas Stars, which was the first time since they had met the Dallas Stars, since the Stars knocked them out in the playoffs in the first round last year,
right.
Preds didn't look good.
Didn't look good.
Lost 4-1. Yeah. It was one of the worst performances of their entire season. I have to think that's in the back of their minds tomorrow as well.
You would like to think so.
That they want to get back at them, that it's a possible measure of revenge that they did not get on them on December 14th.
That's fair. You would like to think that, but I do have my concerns about that motivation because they should have thought that when they met the first time.
No, that's true.
After they got knocked out of the playoffs, which means a lot more than a game in the regular season, especially early on in the regular season. So, yes, you would like to think that they can use that as motivation, but just based on the fact that they didn't use the first round loss as motivation for the last game, maybe the motivation somewhere else.
Coming up next, we'll get into some of the Preds' inconsistencies and why is it that it's been such a roller coaster for this team through the first half of the season. We'll get into that next. He's Jeremy K. Gover. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders live from the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, as the Preds will take on the Stars tomorrow in the 2020 NHL Bridgestone or the Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. I'm getting it all mixed up, and I am freezing my butt off here in Dallas. It is a lot colder right now than I had expected it to be about 10 hours ago.
Porth doesn't usually broadcast from outdoors right next to a hockey rink for 5 hours.
No, I'm borrowing Chase's leather jacket right now just to keep me sane.
Looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Let's get with the new
haircut. It looks better on me than it does, Chase.
That's very fair.
We will continue Preds Insiders coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday or Tuesday and Wednesday by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry for all your dental needs. Visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Carrie Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard, downtown Nashville. We are at the Cotton Bowl in downtown Dallas. Ryan Porth alongside Jeremy K. Gover. The Preds and their families have exited the ice, so they are about to meet with the media ahead of tomorrow's NHL Winter Classic. Reminder, all the coverage here from the Cotton Bowl starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow. 9 to 11, it will be myself and Chase McCabe. 11 a.m., Smash Live with Darren McFarland and Willie Donick. Expected to be joined by NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and others. Pre-game coverage at 12. Pete and Hal have the call. Network coverage starts at 12:50, by the way.
Yes, 12:50.
12:50, puck drop shortly after 1 o'clock here in Dallas, and Willie Donick with ringside coverage, which should be fantastic. So, big game tomorrow. Preds Stars. Preds they need all the points they can get right now, especially after this past weekend where we thought this team figured it out or was starting to figure it out by winning four of their last five going into the Christmas break. They won 3 of 4 on the road. They went 3-0-1, and then they beat Arizona in a really intense, good win against a good Arizona Coyotes team the Monday night before Christmas, and you're thinking this team has it all figured out or is getting there, and Friday night happens where Pekka is pulled 10 minutes in, and they lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins almost in embarrassing fashion. They go to Pittsburgh, and they lose 6-4, but UC Saros gets pulled quickly in the first period. They battle back. They tie it at 4, and then they give up a power play goal with less than a minute to go in that game, and they lose 6-4 to the Pittsburgh Penguins, get 0 points out of those two games against the Penguins. And this team, Gover, is just really inconsistent, and it kind of feels like a lot of what we saw last regular season after they started 13-3.
Yeah. So,
why, in your mind, is this team so up and down?
I honestly see, it's hard for me to answer that because I don't want people to think that I've been told this. My pure speculation is, at the beginning of the season, they came out guns a-blazing because they're a new team. It's a new season. They're ready to go. You got the infusion of Matt Duchene. Mikael Granlund's been here now, all, you know, for the since the trade deadline of the previous season. So now he's got a fresh start, right? You've got all this great stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and they're just on fire, right? Because I think we can all agree they were like legit, like in October, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of hit those doldrums of November, like, okay, well, the new season, the excitement's, you know, that's gone. There's not like a whole lot going on. We're not close to the trade deadline. We're not close to the playoffs. And we know, we as in like the hockey community knows, that the playoffs are the real season. Now you got to get to the playoffs, but that's the
playoffs.
That's the real season.
Yeah.
Right. So this 82 regular game schedule is more of like an obstacle as long as you can navigate it and get into the playoffs. And what I mean by that is the Predators know full well that they were the 16th seed. Barely get in, go to the Stanley Cup final, and are probably a controversial call or two away from hoisting Lord Stanley. Then there's also...
And some injuries.
Some injuries. Then there's the next season when they win the President's Trophy and they go, you know, crazy, and they go just nuts, and they're so good. And then they get bounced to the second round from the Winnipeg Jets, which is the second best team in the West at the time. Then they... So now the President's Trophy, there's proof in that it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Well, we play the game for the cup, and then they got to the cup, got to the playoffs, and they didn't fare as well as they wanted to. Then the next season, they come back against Dallas, and again they light the world on fire. They get, you know, they win the division, and then they peter out against Dallas in the first round. So I think what I'm saying is collectively put all that together, and I think it's a situation where this specific core has seen the entire scope of barely get in, go to the final, dominate, bounce in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all of that working towards, like, well, what do these games in November, December, January mean?
Right.
Now, you got to be a professional. You got to go out and play. You got to win games. But I do think there's an element of that, like the excitement of the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And it's not showtime yet.
Mm-hmm.
Complacency, I guess, is probably the best way to say that.
I tend to agree with you. And how I was going to answer it was there are times where this team does not look motivated.
Right.
And it's not to say that the effort should be in question, but they, like, how do you win 4 of 5 and go into the holiday break like you did and then play the first period that you played against the Penguins and then follow it up with the second period that you have? And it's just like, what are we doing? Like what? I don't know. I just scratch my head a lot with this team. And there have been a lot of head scratching losses too. You think back to the blown game against Calgary on Halloween night,
which was the start of the weirdness.
Right, exactly. The start of that 8 of 9 stretch in which they just could not buy a win.
If you did not see that game, by the way, the first period, they were in complete control and looked like the best team of the past 20 years.
The second period as well.
Right. But I mean they didn't allow Calgary to get a shot on goal until like, I think, 12 minutes into the game or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just looked so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, again, the third period happened, and it was like, oh. okay, it's an anomaly.
Right.
They lost on this great goal in overtime with like a second left. Yeah, all right, you chalk it up to that.
Right.
But then it just began. It just it lit the cannon.
And to your point, this group, this core group, has been through so much together.
Right.
And, you know, when they lost the Stanley Cup final, we heard Ryan Ellis right after the game say, we have to fight for home ice next season. Like, home ice is so pivotal to what we do, we have to go out and get home ice next season.
Because in that playoff, it really mattered.
They were 9-2.
Yes.
They
in
were,
that playoff, it really mattered.
And then you go through the next season, you win the President's Trophy, and their foot was on the gas, if not the entire season, the vast majority
right.
of that regular season, your foot's on the gas, and then you lose in Game 7 at home in Round 2. Then
and
you're kind of thinking
the game that you were up 3-0 in Winnipeg that turned the series, in my opinion.
Yes, Game 3
yes.
of that series.
Right.
And they were chasing that series the entire way.
Right.
And I think as fans and media, we sit back too and say, well, what were they doing, you know, going for the President's Trophy? It obviously didn't matter because you lose 3 of 4 at home to Winnipeg after you fought all season and you preached the importance of getting home ice. And then what has happened at home, really this calendar year of 2019, as we get ready to ring in a new year in just a few hours, there have been some home performances that a lot lesser talented Predators teams never experienced. And that is that has been kind of the maddening part of this team is you see the talent, you see the potential, and then the results on the ice don't match what you think this team has on paper.
But it also matches what you think this team has in this large sample size of the month of October.
Yes.
So you've seen it. It's
yes.
not like, oh, it's last year's team. No, no. This year,
right.
this roster with no trades has looked dominant at
yeah.
times for long stretches. They may have a hiccup, a period here and there, but overall, they're
right.
dominating.
Right.
In the win column, at least, right? And they're racking up points. And then that Calgary loss happens, and it's like it just broke the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was just like, oh, you know, I don't know if it exposed. I don't know what it did.
But it's
so maddening because you've seen it this season.
This team thrives off confidence, and it's almost like that loss.
That's a great point.
Kind of took away some confidence,
that's a good
point. And they haven't been able to truly get it back. And we thought they had it back after that road trip out east when they won 4 or 5. And now here we are sitting at the Cotton Bowl with a team that if you had to ask me today whether or not this team is going to make the playoffs, I would probably tell you no. Because what we've seen so far is a large enough sample size to say, you know what, this might be who they are. Unfortunately, this might be who they are. Now, that's not to say that in the second half of the season they can't turn it on.
When it matters.
When it matters.
Which would support my
point. But they didn't do that last season. Even after going out and getting big acquisitions and getting healthy after a long stretch of injuries, they never really turned it on. They teased us in the last 5 games of the regular season. They went out and won the Central Division and then laid an egg against this Dallas Stars team in round one.
But you know what they did do? They secured home ice that we heard over and over how important it is. It's almost like there was like this, if we get home ice, we'll be fine mentality. Like it's almost like not quite entitlement, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's mm-hmm. like, oh, this equals this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
That's not how this works.
Right, and I'm not saying that the players are stupid and don't think that. What mm-hmm. I'm saying, though, is that it's almost like we heard it so much. You're right about the Ryan L. saying it right after the final, right? And we have to get home ice.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They went out and got home ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did it again. They
right.
got home ice again. And it didn't equate to wins for whatever reason, whether it was they thought it was going to happen or they thought the fans would carry them to whatever or whatever. They still have to play the game. And
mm-hmm.
so they got the home ice that they wanted, that they preached so heavily about. It just didn't translate to wins. So now you're in a position, if you're the Predators, where you're like, well, if we sneak in, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is the case. If you sneak in, just get in and then worry about it later. The problem is that it so devalues the 82-game season. And here we sit in December, almost January, and they're not a playoff team right now.
And you can hear, listeners out there, you can hear the frustration in our voices over this team and trying to figure out which team is going to show up from night to night. Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network went on Darren Donick and Chase earlier today, and he also is trying to figure out why this Preds team is so inconsistent.
you've got all the pieces you could be looking for to be a Stanley Cup contender. They should be a Cup contender. But so far, my big thing for them this year, boys, is they've been inconsistent. Coach Bonus, so far they've been inconsistent so far this year. In watching them play, they've been a little bit inconsistent. So that's my one thing in watching the Preds. I feel like they're much better than they performed so far. They still got an elite decor. You got Roman Josi, one of the best players. Pekka hasn't played up to his potential this year, and we know Pekka's had a great career, but he hasn't been at his level. At times, Josi's played well, but I think all things being equal, shift to shift, game to game, they haven't been the same team. And that's what's kind of frustrating, because they do have the pieces.
Right.
I mean, Matt Duchene came out hotter than a pistol. Duchene was great when he first started the season, and I know Nashville's a great fit for him. He loves country, the whole scene. It's just overall, not dependent on him, just overall the team, I think, has been more inconsistent than we thought, and I certainly think they should be, because they've got pieces.
That was Kevin Weeks earlier today with Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And there you hear a national analyst in Kevin Weeks, who has played this game, sound almost as frustrated as we are trying to analyze and figure out what we're watching with this Predators team.
He mentions Duchene, and I want to go back to that just real quick, touch on that real quick. I wrote on thegamenational.com when they signed him that he is not the second coming. He upgrades the roster, and it's great. His addition is great. But fans are treating him like he's this 100-point player. He averages 57 points a season. Guess what he's averaging right now? 56. It's because he came out. He's right. Kevin Weeks said, came out hotter than a pistol. He's regressed.
Listeners, you're about to hear a horn.
It's what he usually is.
And the
nice
clock stops at 3.9.
A nice little jingle instead.
Oh.
We tried to time that for you.
They go through rehearsals here at the Cotton Bowl.
We tried to time that for you.
I tried. It was almost like the cannon in Columbus. It's like, right. Beware, it's about to happen.
Here
and
it comes.
Then boom.
Yeah.
And we just totally botched that. So, coming up next, Preds Insiders, Ryan Porch, Jeremy Kegover, live from the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Roman Josi got some accolades yesterday that I want to touch on. Roman Josi is pulling his weight.
And then
who
some.
Else needs to pull their weight moving forward in this Predator season? We will get to that coming up next. He is Jeremy Kegover. I'm Ryan Porth. We are touching the glass at the Cotton Bowl in the NHL Winter Classic tomorrow. Pred Stars here in Dallas, Texas. We are so freaking pumped for this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned. We have more Preds Insiders coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, live from Dallas. Our road to Dallas coverage brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have another version of Road to Dallas coming up here at 7 o'clock here ringside as Chase McCabe just got back from the locker room. You'll hear a lot of that sound next hour. Also, you will hear Doc Emrick and Kevin Weeks in their entirety next hour, and they were fantastic. So
they usually are.
They usually are.
Yes.
And last segment, we talked about the Preds' inconsistency. And Roman Josi yesterday, named to the NHL All-Star Game. Congratulations to Roman Josi. The All-Star Game taking place in St. Louis later next month. And Roman Josi, 39 points in 38 games. The captain is pulling his weight. 1,000%. Roman Josi, through this point in the season, has been the team MVP. And I don't really think it's very close. 39 points in 38 games. That comes after the three-assist effort, in Pittsburgh on Saturday night. And you look at what he's done in, let's say, the last seven games. In the last seven games, Roman Josi has 7 goals and 6 assists. He has 13 points in the last 7 games. And he is among the Norris Trophy contenders. I don't know if he's the favorite because John Carlson in Washington has gotten out to such a lead in that race that it's going to be hard for Roman Josi to overtake him. But
I put him number 2 right now on my ballot. Roman Josi.
Number 2?
Yes.
What's funny is that Roman Josi and Shea Weber could be Norris Trophy
finalists together.
Finalists at the same time.
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. So, Roman Josi, congratulations on being named to the All-Star game yesterday. But there are multiple players on this team, Gover, that I feel need to start pulling their weight and playing on a consistent level. And I know you feel that way as well. We heard from Kevin Weeks last segment. Let's hear from him again. Here is Kevin Weeks on who needs to step up for this Preds team.
Your underdogs are your underdogs, and when they're overperforming, that's awesome. But you need your big dogs to be barking. Those top-end guys, aside from Roman Josi, who's been really good this year. But Philip Forsberg has another two levels. He takes games over. You guys know when Forsberg's going. Not only is he hot and easy, I know you maybe say he's a bit streaky, but he literally takes games over. And yeah, he'll go like a four-game stretch and score like 8 goals. You know what I mean? He's that good to take games over himself. Same thing for Matt Duchene. Maybe not as much from a goal-scoring standpoint, but playmaking and generating points. So they always say, man, your best players need to be your best players. And I think in the case of Jost, Roman Josi certainly has been that. He leads the Preds in scoring. But as far as the other guys, they've been pretty good-ish, but they need to be better for sure.
That was Kevin Weeks. And the name that he brought up, Philip Forsberg, I don't want to be critical of Philip Forsberg too much, because when you look at his numbers, he's on pace to match his career high in points at 64.
Right.
But to Kevin Weeks' point, we haven't seen him go next level yet this season, at least on a consistent basis. You can maybe say that about his first handful of games, but you could say that about a lot of Predators players in those first 5-6 games. Philip Forsberg is a team that can put this team on his back, and he needs to do that consistently down the stretch.
I think Forsberg's issue, and he would not say this, I'm sure, but in my opinion, Forsberg's issue is chemistry. When he's with Matt Duchene and Mikael Granlund, he is that line is ridiculous when they're going, okay, when they have the opportunity to pressure and score and make things happen. Even if they're not scoring, they're still creating room for each other out there, and therefore they're creating room for the defensemen as well that they're out here with. So it's just a big deal that Forsberg gets shuffled around the lineup every once in a while. Throughout the season, he's been on all kinds of lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was reunited with the Jofa line. That's great. And we all know the chemistry they have. But I think with Duchene and Granlund, they really play well together.
You know what I would be interested in knowing?
What's that?
Is how, as talented as Philip Forsberg is, how difficult can it be sometimes to develop chemistry with a player like that, where you don't know what's coming next?
Right.
Philip Forsberg could juggle the puck over the blue line. He could fire a pass behind his back. And if you haven't played with him for a long time, I kind of feel like that can be tough to predict what Philip Forsberg is about to do. So I would love to know. I don't think you'll ever get any players admit saying, you know, Philip Forsberg is not the most fun line mate to have because you never know what's coming. But I would, you know, like to know if that is something that he is so unpredictable, which is good when you think of the opposition because it keeps them on their toes, but it's almost like his line mates are on their toes as well.
I can give you some insight on that.
Okay.
Actually, thank you for saying that. A long time ago, I think it was in the early 2000s, Joe Sakic was asked about Peter Forsberg and why he wasn't clicking on whatever line it was. And Joe Sakic said, as Peter Forsberg's teammate in Colorado, Joe Sakic said, certain guys can play with certain guys, and certain guys can play with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter Forsberg is on such another level than everybody else, you have to think the game the same as he does. Otherwise, he can be the greatest player in the world, but if you put him with two other just kind of guys that don't think the game as well, it won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Philip Forsberg, no relation, is the same. I think because when he's with Duchene and Granlund, they look good. They're in each other's heads. They play really well. Again, they open up space for each other. And those guys all think the game the same, I think, in my opinion. They have that other level of hockey IQ, if you will.
So we both think Philip Forsberg, there's another level to his game.
Oh, yes.
Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene combined for $16 million against the cap. They have 15 goals so far this season.
It's not enough.
They're not goal scorers, but they need to produce more offense on a consistent basis. So I look at them as well. And then you also have to look at the goaltending. I mean, the goaltending has been the weak link of this Preds team. When is the last time we have said goaltending has been the team's weak link? Maybe never.
Yeah, since the early 2000s?
Since before they
even
made the playoffs?
Stretch. Yeah,
I mean,
that's a stretch.
From Tomas Vokoun through even the short stint of Chris Mason and Dan Ellis to when Pecorine took over the reins as the number one goalie, goaltending has been almost the least of their concerns. Now, it is the primary concern, at least for me, because you don't know what version of Pecorine you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get old Pekka or the old Pekka. You don't know what is going to happen with UC Saros. Like, it, the goaltending inconsistency, I think, is the biggest reason why this team is where they are in the standings right now.
I don't disagree, and I've been called a goaltender apologist for this, but I'll say it again. The defense is not helping him out. They're not helping the goaltenders out as much.
Mm-hmm.
They have in the last probably couple weeks. You've seen loose pucks get cleared out from in front of the crease, right? Mm-hmm. Those things like that that were not happening early on, especially when they were struggling, you know. But then again, you also had I think you had a goal or two by Pittsburgh where you had defensemen turned around, looked at the puck, and there's a guy on the doorstep basically untouched, maybe, right? So the goaltenders are not being helped out as much. But you're right. The goaltenders do need to be better. They need to make those unpredictable saves and those unlikely saves that they're not making right now.
Well, and I always hear, you know, they're not getting much help. And there are a lot of times where I come on here and say, look, Pecorine and UC Saros, they didn't get much help last night. But there's a reason why Pecorine back in the day was nicknamed the Eraser.
Right.
He erased a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
Great goaltenders erase a lot of mistakes because, let's face it, there are a lot of mistakes that happen
sure.
throughout Any almost
game.
Every game.
Yeah.
So the goaltending, I think, does have to improve here in the second half for this team to really not only make the playoffs but even have a shot of getting out of the first round. And we're at the Cotton Bowl right now, and this is the dumbest song in hockey. As you can hear, it's the Dallas Stars goal song, the dumbest song in hockey. It's worse than the Chicago one. Chelsea Dagger.
Yeah, Chelsea Dagger.
It's worse than Chelsea Dagger. The Dallas Stars goal song is just brutal. So well, I just had to make that comment as we get distracted.
Let's just hope we don't
again
hear it at all
Cotton
tomorrow.
Bowl. Yeah. Then we would have seen the old Pekka and not old Pekka,
right?
As my dad likes to put it.
Oh, he says.
Oh, I'm totally stealing that from my dad.
I have a lot of confidence in Rene and that he can bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there needs to be a spark of some kind, and I don't know if that's the defense playing better in front of him. I don't know if it's just some highlight reel save that kind of snaps him back into play. I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. I have faith that this is not the final ride, that he will rescue the season at some point.
So check out our Twitter at 1025 The Game for all the coverage that we've had today. Check out thegamenashville.com if you missed any of Darren, Donick, and Chase. They had unprecedented coverage from the Winter Classic today. Huge guest after huge guest, and our coverage is going to be phenomenal again tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. in this very spot ringside at the Cotton Bowl here. The Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. Gover, there have been a lot of cool venues that we've done shows. We hosted Preds Insiders from the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame night.
We did.
When David Poile was inducted. But this takes the cake. This 1,000% takes the cake. This is so cool, and I know this is your last go-around as an official media member.
It is.
And
it's last season.
For us to do this, it's been special.
I love you, man, and I appreciate you letting me do something like this. This is really cool to sit this close to the ice. Thank you, Chase. This close to the ice, you know, for an hour and just talk hockey with you. It's really been great, and hopefully we have, well, I don't know, 6 more months left of this.
Yes, we do. So, Gover, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
For Gover, I'm Ryan Poor. Thank you so much for listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, though, the coverage does not stop from Big D. Chase McCabe will be rejoining the set for the road to Dallas. We will pick up our coverage coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.